Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
No.
Madden, bonding, friendship, bonding.
Yeah. I love it.
My name is Matt.
My name is Tim. Welcome to James Bonding with Matt and Matt.
Man.
Today, we welcome to the illustrious program Mr. Jonah Ray.
Jonah Ray.
Of course, Comedy Central Half Hour just aired. Excellent job there. And, man, you're coming to Comedy Central in January?
No, we start shooting in January, the Meltdown Show with Jonah Kumail.
This is where we are right now. This is where this is going to happen.
This is where the magic started. For everything.
We are in this place recording right now because of that gentleman right there.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah,
we wouldn't be here doing this.
Well, I want you
to take some credit.
No. Just an idea.
It was a good idea.
Yeah, cool.
It was a good idea.
I see what's happening. Yeah. I think you deserve some credit.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, Matt.
As an independent arbiter, this is why I've been called in.
Yes, of course.
To dole out coods.
I am a muse. I am a conduit.
Yeah. Yeah, whatever.
I'm an aqueduct.
Coods to you.
Yes.
Today, guys, we watched the second installment in the James Bond franchise. This is the third episode of the show, and that movie was from...
From Russia with love.
Did it bother you that that is actual source music on a radio that he turns off?
Yeah, it's the only time that happens, right? Yeah.
Yes.
No, I didn't mind it for some reason, but I see what you're saying.
I'm sure at the time that was mind-blowing.
I'm just saying, like, you know, see Daniel Craig driving down the street listening to Skyfall.
It is really
he's not really. He doesn't really, you know, like, I don't really see him as a fan of Adele. Maybe some hyphy, maybe some dubstep, but not Adele.
The man is Daniel Craig is an Adele fan.
Yeah, he was a big
Bond. Yeah. They do it. Is it Honor Majesty's Secret Service where that little person is sweeping and he whistles Goldfinger? Do you know about that?
Yeah.
Boy, this is a real precedent.
So wait, this is the second movie.
Mm-hmm. This is our third episode because what we're doing, Jonah, is we're doing Dr. No, then Skyfall, then From Russia with Love, then back up to Quantum of Solace. So we're sort of going from both ends and meeting in the middle.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
We just wanted to change up the order just because we didn't want it to be forever until we got to some modern James Bond. And Matt and I are sort of partial to Roger Moore, so we're sort of saving him for the...
Yeah, I see that, but it seems like it just makes that, when you get to those later ones or the Roger Moore stuff, it makes it that much sweeter.
Yeah. You've done your work.
Yeah.
I love this idea.
It's going to be great.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk. We have to ask our guest, Jonah, about their sort of experiences pre this podcast with James Bond. Were you a fan growing up? Did you watch it at all? Did you care at all?
Didn't care much when the first Pierce Brosnan one came out, which is
GoldenEye.
Yeah.
When that came out, I was in the midst of, for some reason, I was in school. I was in middle school, I believe, and I didn't like school. But I, for some reason, always thought it'd be fun to start clubs, and I would always start a club and then just bail on it after the first session.
Wait, I started a bowling. You're a serial club starter?
I started a bowling club. I went to one. I bailed. Wow. I started.
How were your relationships at this time?
Like with just who?
Just women.
Oh, well, girls. I was in middle school.
Were you dating
There
any
were
women
no
at
such thing as girls for me.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I was, you know, I was like in sixth grade and I was 300 pounds and I was not about to. All right, and I was all boys school.
So far, we got a lot in common.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, and the reason, and one of the things when I started the movie club.
Oh, boy.
Is, I got us to leave school a little early.
Holy
so
shit.
So whoever was in the movie club.
He's a fucking genius.
Could go see GoldenEye.
Really?
And it was, I remember being like, whoa. But when the next one came out, just
that was
didn't.
Sort of it? Yeah.
Yeah, I just. Yeah.
Same here.
You know, and I don't know why. I think I wasn't ready for, you know, the humor of it. Mm-hmm. I don't think I was ready for, you know, I don't think I was adult enough to understand the jokes that are in there. For people, as opposed to like, it just seemed cheesy to me, and I was such a huge fan of Mel Brooks that like and like, you know, Mel Brooks' movies, a lot of them were made around that same time, so they have the same kind of like, you know, sweaties, late 60s, early 70s.
Yeah, the look,
yeah, brown
the aesthetic,
sweat is
the grain of the film is there.
Yeah, orange skin sweat.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. They didn't like know how to, you know, even Romero didn't know how to light correctly for zombies in Dawn of the Dead. You know, that's why they didn't look green and gray. And
when you were a kid, though, did like your dad ever like turn on the TV, watch an old James Bond movie?
No,
if it was, on?
Was GoldenEye your first Bond movie?
GoldenEye was my first Bond movie.
Wow.
That, like,
that's
I saw,
a different perspective,
saw you know, Top and Tails, and I didn't really, you know. I knew it was a, you know, it was a cultural milestone.
Sure.
I know what, you know, 007 is. I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
you know, he has a buddy named Q. You know, you have all that stuff that you know, and are just reference points for other things. Like, you know, maybe the first time I saw the you know, the barrel of the gun going across it, it might have been a Muppet Babies episode.
Yeah,
you know?
Sure. Yeah, you pick up sort of stuff like that from
other
people's
references.
Yeah,
like Muppet Babies, very, like, you know, tons of references to movies. Simpsons, just nothing but references to movies. And so, you know, it's so weird when you finally get to see those movies, you go, oh, that's why that was funny. I laughed anyway.
Yeah,
I had the exact same experience, but with Warner Brothers cartoons, not first run, but... Exactly. I would walk around the house doing Jimmy Cagney impressions, not knowing who that was.
Right.
And people, like mothers in the neighborhood, would be like, how do you know who Jimmy Cagney is? And I don't. And you'd see it later and go, ah, full circle.
Yeah, yeah.
And I need to work on
which
my
I think, you know, and that's sort of, I think that's kind of, that was what was cool, not to get off on a tangent, but what was kind of cool about Tiny Toons was that generation. Because if you can remember back to Tiny Toons, they would have scenes sometimes, or maybe it was more Animaniacs, would have scenes with Michael Keaton. As Batman would show up, and then, like, because it was Warner Brothers, so they did that, and, like, Jack Nicholson was there, and, like, had this whole...
Goodfellas.
This whole, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those were very much Hollywood cartoons. I mean, Animaniacs was, you know, they were in the Warner Brothers water tower.
Yeah. Yeah. But in fairness, it's Burbank. But,
what?
Nothing.
Hollywood as a general term, not as a jurisdiction.
Do you guys need me to do an independent arbitration again?
Yeah.
But this time, like, just to decide the case?
Yeah.
Oh, geez. Now I feel pressure. I like handing out positive outcomes. So I'm just going to say that nobody wins.
Okay.
Think about your sins. Think on your sins. All right.
I really do. I said Hollywood in the general sense.
Sort of.
As in, that's Hollywood, kid.
Hello.
Sort of a related question. Jonah, I know you're a big fan of Weird Al. We all are.
Yes.
Did you see Spy Hard?
Yes, I had a poster for Spy Hard in my room.
I've never seen Spy
Leslie
Hard.
Leslie Nielsen.
You've never seen Spy Hard?
No. Well, maybe I have.
It's not.
I can't say go see it. Like, it's not like a touchstone picture, you know?
Yeah. Well, it was weird when, you know, they stopped making Naked Gun movies, but Leslie Nielsen didn't stop making Naked Gun movies.
No.
No one told Leslie that they were done making Naked Gun movies.
It's a Spy Hard. Oh, no, this is Naked Gun 45th and the 9th.
Dracula did, and I'm just wearing a Dracula costume.
Yeah. Yeah. And do I like this? Am I loving it?
Though, there are some great jokes in Dracula Dead, loving it.
I've never seen it,
but I digress.
That I would watch that before you watch Spy Hard.
Do I have to watch both?
No.
Okay.
If you want to be a completist when it comes to Masters of Comedy, Mel Brooks.
Yeah. Damn it.
Which
I've even, like, here's the thing. There's one of the biggest comedy snobs I know, BJ Porter, who was a writer on Mr. Show and, you know, helped start Comedy Death Ray. He'll say about Dracula Dead, loving it, the last 15 minutes are some of the funniest moments in any Mel Brooks movie.
Really? Oh, well, that's good enough for me.
Listen, I could agree with that.
Really?
I do. I really. There's a soft spot for Dracula Dead and Loving It.
Welcome to Dracula Dead and Loving It Bonding Podcast.
No, it's Dracula Dead and Loving It. No, I'm sorry. But yeah, so I don't, you know, I don't really, I've never really seen much. I've had friends like my friend Peter Atencio, who's like, he should be a guest on this show. He's crazy into James Bond.
Well, really?
Yeah, he even, G4 did like a whole run of them when they got the rights to show the James Bond movies. He did all the interstitials and like he took a huge pay cut because he wanted to be involved with
this
so
much. Oh my
God. Because he got to play with a lot of the props. This was probably like 4 years ago, 5 years ago.
Man, they just, they got the, as we were on our way out the door, they got the rights again.
Oh, really?
And I was begging them to let me do interstitials for it.
Yeah, yeah. No, they had Tencio direct those.
That's awesome.
I think he ended up writing them mostly.
That's awesome.
But, yeah, so I've had friends that love it. And, you know, it's hard to watch it when you've seen every bit of reference or parody of it beforehand.
Yeah,
you know?
But in your defense, though, those Brosnan ones are basically self-parodies, or at least parodies of early Bonds for me. Because I kind of had a similar experience, except I was really into him as a kid and then kind of stepped away for a while and then came back for the Brosnan era, and I was like, oh, I don't know.
It was just, they were just action movies.
In
you know.
A diehard world, other things were doing it better.
Well,
now.
They exponentially, yeah, yeah, yeah. I think that the series of James Bond movies is interesting in that it, each movie that comes out, it begins to parody itself more and more.
Yeah.
Well, everything until becomes a callback.
Yeah.
Until you get to Die Another Day, which is maybe the worst movie I've ever seen.
He texted me the other day watching it.
Oh God,
just couldn't believe it.
It is that movie,
say
which
the,
was the 20th.
Yeah.
No, we'll just talk a little bit.
Teaser.
Just touch on
it's
it a
teaser.
Little bit. We're gonna touch on it a little bit.
Taste.
That movie is it's the 20th anniversary of James Bond, and there is so
40th.
Right? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
20th picture. The 20th
right,
movie.
Right. Right.
But there's so much. You know, look at this.
Yeah.
Wink, wink. Ooh. Like for instance, John Cleese, who's playing Q at that point, hands Bond his watch and goes, this will be your 20th, I believe.
Mm.
There's that kind of, like,
okay.
So
and
self-referential.
That was the second Brosnan?
Third.
Fourth.
Third Brosnan.
Fourth.
Yeah. How, he did that many, huh?
Yeah.
Fourth.
Wow.
That was his fourth.
He wanted
final.
To do more. Yeah, he wanted to do more.
And I would have loved to have him do more. But
he's a good-looking Bond.
Yeah.
He looks like what you think James Bond
yeah,
looks
exactly.
like.
Yeah,
exactly. You know what I mean? All right, man. I appreciate it.
Is that only because of youth? Is that like reminiscence in youth and
yeah, a lot of it could be nostalgia, but yeah. I think I loved the kind of grizzled looks of Connery. I buy him as someone out in the field, and I buy it with Daniel Craig. I don't with Pierce Brosnan. To me, he's
like
department
desk.
Store.
James well, I don't yeah. think you yeah. can with Pierce Brosnan or Roger Moore.
Yeah, I agree.
You never buy the brutality.
But they
with
went
Roger
all
Moore.
The way with Roger Moore to the yeah. campsite, and Brosnan, you want it both ways. He wants it both ways, and it just never worked for me. And I admit that I'm totally right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As he always does.
No, that I may not be correct.
But
some, you know, everybody has their own.
Had you ever seen a Sean Connery James Bond movie?
No.
Before we made you watch
really?
This. Wow.
Wow. Well, yeah. This is a good one to start because
this,
yeah. this
is early in the
as
run.
Legit as they get. Some yeah. of them get a little bit more wacky, which I enjoy.
And it did have, I mean, there was a lot of jokes in it.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know, there
I mean,
are.
This is probably the driest one. Maybe Dr. No. Would you say?
Yeah, I think this might be this. In many ways, I find this to be the simplest James Bond movie.
Yeah, maybe.
Just, yeah, I mean, it was just one, like two very open double crosses, pretty much.
Yeah,
yeah.
Everything else is just a linear detective story.
Yeah,
basically.
And
yeah.
it was I still found it to be kind of interesting.
Yeah,
of
I did
like
too.
Who, what's going to happen? Robert Shaw's going this way. Yeah. Sean Connery's going that way. So
there's only like, and there's only two action pieces, huh?
Basically.
There's the raid
yeah.
on the gypsy camp, and then
yeah.
there's the boats.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, but there's also, I find that fight, we'll
the
get to
fight
it in a minute,
amazing.
The fight
okay,
in the train
yeah, yeah.
car is amazing.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That that's a fucking brutal fight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, this we should say, too, because the general public seems to feel Goldfinger is the best and most classic Bond film, but I think among Bond fans, this is usually the one cited as one of the best, if not the best, maybe on our
I loved it.
Surface.
I like it.
I can agree with that.
It's
yeah.
a
yeah.
great looking movie. It's you know, it's Istanbul, and they really use the fuck out of that temple. the temple, yeah. It's like that's like in the background of almost every shot.
Well, what's interesting about that is you get a little continuity error happening there, right there, because Moneypenny says she's never been to Istanbul.
Wait a minute, is she there?
Isn't that where the fucking Skyfall chase is?
Oh. Boy, you are really. That's right. It is, huh?
Yep. So right there, they fucked it
up. That's the only flaw in that lineage. There's never another single flaw at all.
Okay, so Jonah, as someone who's never seen a Sean Connery,
and believe me, there's
James
a bit
Bond
of guilt. There's a bit of guilt with
there's
it.
Don't worry about it.
We have no judgment here.
Yeah. As a guy that like I try my best to just watch, and I talk to Matt about this a lot, and we get into arguments about it where it's like, you know, all I do is try to watch movies I've never seen before. That's what I do.
You're
with
better man
my,
than I.
Like my yeah. my time. Uh-huh. But you know, they just keep on coming out, and the easy accessibility of just clicking a button and watching, you know, the new Joe Swansburg, even though I don't like him. Like I still want to see the new one. You know.
Yeah.
But Bond probably feels like a tall order because there's so many. Where do you start?
I'll equate it to this exactly, and I've done this to a lot of other things. Matt's heard this one. Is that it's like when I first heard. Guided by Voices, which is I was like, "This who is this?" Or like, "This is Guided by Voices." I was like, "This is great. I'm going to go get some of their records." And you go, and they have a rack and a half full of albums. And I'm just like, you know what? I'm all right.
Yeah.
I'm all right. It's what daunting. About Superchunk? Just the same. Yeah. You know, there's too much of it.
Yeah.
And it's too overwhelming to even start. Like, where do you start?
Superchunk, how many Twitter followers? I know that's just because I looked it up the other day. How many Twitter followers do you think Superchunk has?
5,400.
I'll say 24,000.
It's 19,000.
Oh.
You guys, as the arbiter of this,
yeah,
you're
yeah.
both right.
Okay.
okay, so this is good. I'm kind of very happy that Joan has not seen a Sean Connery.
Yeah, it's nice. We're getting lots of different perspectives.
What is your overall impression of Sean Connery as James Bond?
You know what? It's good. It's a bit like he's a bit too blasé, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He's a guy that has seen shit, has done horrible things. Not to jump ahead, but when the guy he's been broing out with the entire movie is found dead,
yeah,
he could care less.
Yeah.
It's like and maybe there needs to be for me some like. Repercussions, some to show detachment more. But he's so obsessed with this girl that's not even the hottest girl in the movie. You know, it's like he's so obsessed with her, and like for no real good reason besides the fact that she's kind of cute and got an accent. And then like this guy who is my favorite person in the movie.
Yeah,
he's so great. Like pretty like an accent that kind of comes in and out. But
he is the Quarrel of From Rush with Love. Quarrel is the very similar role in Dr. No.
Oh, okay.
So it's like whenever James Bond meets a buddy, like meets this guy he's got that's helping him on the mission, always incredibly likable character actors.
Yeah, and usually doomed.
Yeah,
the character.
Yeah, and that would happen, but as far as like just too blasé.
Yeah, and I'm with you. Even when he tells Karim's son that he died on the train, it's like he's mad at the son.
Yeah,
you know, not consoling or anything.
Yeah,
but it's like don't bother with that. I got shit to
Here's my argument.
Yeah,
for this, I think that James Bond does show great sympathy by gathering his things, by picking up all
in his way.
Do you think that's just it's so mechanical for him?
Yeah,
it's like a. It's like if like a fallen soldier and you just grab his dog tags.
Yeah, but I think the character of James Bond is capable of not caring in such a manner that he would not have bothered to do that.
Yeah, and I think definitely it's interesting because this is definitely a character choice. So you should see a later Connery where not only does the character not care, but the actor does not care. Just oh boy.
Also, the Sean Connery voice isn't there yet. It's not fully formed.
Yeah, the classic.
I mean, yeah, it's just like it's not.
Well,
it's not all the way there.
Right.
You know?
I think that's a little bit of him trying to
sound more British,
tone
maybe.
Back the Scottish.
His jowls hasn't dropped yet.
Yeah. Okay, so the movie opens up with a full on cold open.
Uh huh.
And it is the audience is led to believe that James Bond is being hunted down.
I have a couple questions to throw at you guys for this.
Yeah.
Do you think Sean Connery is acting like a fake Sean Connery in this scene? I watched it this time thinking he is. Like
yes.
He's doing subtle things of almost robotic movements or something.
I agree with that entirely. I think that he moves differently. And I think that there's a couple of things like he gets a little more scared than you would think that James Bond would get scared.
Also, where is he coming from in a tuxedo that a killer will go kill him in a hedge maze? Or
yeah. Like, I was expecting to hear a party nearby.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes. Like, but that Spectre has set up this hedge maze, all of this pretense for what's essentially just a murder exercise.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what
they reference that later.
Yeah.
Did they?
Yeah, when they're walking through the training area, it's like,
this
training is nothing compared to actual experience. It's we have live targets for that.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
I agree. We use live targets also.
Yeah. I wasn't expecting it.
Oh, good.
I thought it was weird. The one thing that like made me, you know, in retrospect, when he shot, I was like, James Bond isn't really the kind of guy who just shoots willy-nilly. It's like, you know.
Yeah.
You know, if it's an exercise, unnecessary mask. Very, it's like
right,
that mask
right.
was only for the audience.
Yeah,
it
right.
had nothing, like, it's like, you know, is that Russian guy going like, it's like, I just can't get into it. I see my friend, I can.
Are you asking me to run around like I am James Bond? I do not look like a James Bond.
Yeah, no, even the guy like that has to go and kill him. Like, he's right. I can't.
I don't want to kill him.
Yeah.
I can't kill that guy.
Yeah.
Robert Shaw.
Yeah.
Fucking yeah. Robert Shaw. So good in everything he's ever been in.
He may be the best henchman. I know people say Odd Job because there's more of a gimmick there, but Robert Shaw, just the versatility of the different roles he plays in this movie. And,
It's really great. And you know, Dee was Robert Shaw from Jaws for Halloween once.
Really?
Yeah, facial hair and all.
Quint.
Quint. Then he pulls out the... Yes.
The first gadget we ever see in a James Bond movie, I would
and
say.
And that must have been mind-blowing at the time.
Yeah.
I think it would have been.
Although, we're talking about...
yeah, it just looks like
Sean
thread
Connery
from
pulling
his coat.
Out the, well, no, he pulls
God
out.
Damn it. Yeah, it basically is.
Here's my thought on that. I feel like the choke wire that comes out of the watch, I feel like that's a real sort of thing.
Yeah.
That the SS soldiers had or something
I
like
think
that.
Too, but I don't think the general public would have... I think everybody's watching that and going, why didn't I think of that?
You could easily just wind it back up, no problem.
But you know, my thing was like, I was like, there's got to be a little handle for it that you have to grab it, and like it would be hanging off your watch. Therefore, it would always be kind of like tickling your arm hair. You know,
just worried about it.
Yeah,
so you're, like, you like, think,
ah,
you think
ooh, it, I always think it's a bug.
You think it works like a pool toy?
Yeah. Well, it's going to have a little thing. You need a little thing to be able to pull from, right? Or it's going to go right back in, like if you don't knot your hoodie string.
You got to knot your hoodie string, and you got to knot your strangulation wires.
Exactly. What are you going to grab?
Did you know that they reshot this opening scene? Because when they took the mask off the guy, he didn't originally have a mustache, and people thought, oh, they're still going to think that's Sean Connery for some reason. And so they went and reshot it with the mustache so people would be very clear that it was not Sean Connery.
Sean Connery is James Bond, skin deep.
Yeah, he wears a mask.
Well, I think it's also... Well, here's why I would think they might think that. Because you go 17 minutes into this movie without seeing Sean Connery as James Bond.
Really?
You go so far... Because, you know, I'm not counting the cold open situation. You go from the cold open to Spectre meeting on a boat.
Oh, yeah.
Chess match.
Right. Yeah.
Then to Tatiana.
Yeah.
Then to James Bond.
Wow,
Bonner.
Right. Sure. Yeah.
Good point.
Huh.
Yeah. Fair enough.
I feel like that might be why they were like, we need a mustache. Sean's not in this enough. We need a mustache.
Yeah.
So what you're seeing here, Jonah, is the what was the main sort of villain for nearly every James Bond movie up to Diamonds Are Forever, right?
Are you talking about Blofeld?
I'm talking about
Spectre.
Spectre.
Yes. He's kind of dispensed in For Your Eyes Only, but just as a little nod, that character is. But yeah, Spectre.
Yeah. So Spectre is the special... wait.
Special,
we forget every time.
Special Executive. SP is 2, right?
Yeah, Special.
Special executive for Counter...
No, Special Executive for Counter... Terrorism, extortion,
and revenge.
Revenge. No, wait, that's the name.
I know the journey was fun, but you guys should have just looked it up.
It can't be counterterrorism.
No, for counterintelligence. Counterintelligence, terrorism, right? Counterintelligence? Thank you, Katie. Thank you, Moneypenny.
Special... Executive for Counterintelligence, Terrorism, Revenge, and Extortion.
Yeah,
we nailed it. We nailed it. We just did ER instead of RE.
So they do Revenge for Hire.
Yeah.
They do extortion.
They don't do for hire. They do
Well, they
for
do their
themselves.
Own revenge.
Well,
yeah.
then
they,
you don't yeah. you don't promote
why would
it.
You even,
don't
yeah, you, why you would know? You promote that? Like, if I had a company, I wouldn't call it Pizza Fridays, just because internally we have Pizza Fridays.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah, good point.
Exactly. Oh, that's just for us, the pizza.
I'm sorry.
Sorry.
We don't actually, we don't deliver
I don't know why
pizza.
We put the banner outside this of so this office weird. Building.
This is really weird. I'm embarrassed.
Hi, I'd like a pizza, but it's Thursday, so I didn't know if I could come in.
No, actually, you know what, we don't even, we just don't have pizza. It's
You don't have any pizza?
No, I mean, no, we do,
there's pizza.
But you know, it's tomorrow.
Yeah, it's on Friday.
It's my kid's birthday today.
Yeah. That's fun. I mean, a happy birthday.
You can get him anything you want out of the Urban Outfitters, but we don't have any pizza.
Yeah, but if you need, like, some extortion or...
What?
Yeah.
Do you know who I am? I'm James Bond.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
You have a son?
Oh, yeah. Jimmy. Yeah, he maybe saw the cartoon. Anyway, I gotta go. I'm just funning you guys.
James Bond Jr. was the nephew. Mm. I never understood the junior situation.
Well, that's like anyway. Supergirl was his cousin.
Yeah.
Power Girl, and it's too. Not really like it.
We'll get into that.
Also, you kept your cool when the guy revealed himself as James Bond. I got scared.
No, I
as
knew.
a worker for Spectre.
Really, what he wanted is just pizza. He obviously wasn't.
I'm not on a mission. You know, I got to live too.
Yeah, but it's just
it's not always work.
Opposing teams, it just feels weird.
All right.
Okay. Yeah. The face makeup was ridiculous. The then it cuts to a scene of the chess match.
We haven't had. Do you want to talk about the titles?
Oh,
the song?
Let's talk about the title.
So
sequence.
These are not a Morris Binder title sequence, which he's known for all of these early ones, except for this and Goldfinger. Mm-hmm. I think this is Robert Brown John.
What did you? What did?
It's what I call my sorry.
What did you think
what
of
I call
the?
My
title. What did you think of the title sequence?
They knew how hard it would be to read them. That's why they always show up twice.
Yeah.
You notice that? It's definitely like, it's on my arm. Wait, what was that say? It's on my arm again.
The producers came in and went, I love the idea, but we actually have to read these. So
yeah.
Could you flatten them out a little?
It's a guild thing?
Yeah.
You wouldn't understand. It's a guild thing.
And so this is one of the few instrumentals for a Bond film. One of three, I think.
Mm.
Dr. No. Well, they're kind of lyrics in that. But Honor Your Majesty's Secret Service and From Russia With Love. But then they play the vocal version of the song at the end.
Which is also available on the James Bond soundtrack, the vocal rendition.
There's just a James Bond soundtrack?
There's a Best of Bond.
Oh, okay.
Soundtrack. What was the original idea of just having such an elaborate credit sequence for a Bond movie?
Well, if you watch
in vogue at the time, too. Saul Bass and the Hitchcock movies.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
And then I think what happened is the James Bond as an entity lived on for so long past that being in vogue that it just was like, well, we have to do this.
And thank God, because I love them. I love the title sequence.
Skyfall.
The Skyfall one was just mesmerizing. I want that as a fucking desktop screensaver.
Yeah,
home screen on my phone. Anytime someone calls, the whole sequence just plays.
Yeah.
And I miss every call.
Matt, why don't you pick up for like 4.5 minutes?
Because
you're not
daggers are gravestones. That's why.
And why does your phone ring for 4.5 minutes? It seems like it should go to voicemail.
Gravestones are then teeth in a skull, is why. This song was performed by Matt Monro, but then later as a radio hit by Frank Sinatra. Did you know that?
I did not know that it ever became a radio hit.
Well, I don't know. Maybe I use the term hit liberally, but it's not a John Barry tune either.
If you said adult contemporary hit, I would believe that.
Yeah, it's played a lot.
Adult contempo.
Coast.
Yeah, so, okay. I like the title sequence. I think it's cute. Low tech, just some belly dancing, which
shaking
obviously
ladies.
Relates to the belly dancing that happens later.
Mm-hmm. The unnecessary gypsy turn,
yeah, the
gypsy exploitation, that happens.
The very unnecessary. Let's go look at gypsies in a way that I felt racist watching. Anyone else agree with me?
I felt more sexist than racist. I don't know how you, Jonah.
Well, I felt like a huge asshole because I was like, "There's no way gypsies are this hot."
Arbiter Jonah, thank you.
Yeah,
there are some hot gypsies. But before we get to the gypsies, I want to talk about the chess match.
Please, I want to talk. There's a few things in this I want to talk about too. I wish we had a podcast.
We do. Oh. He gets. You're watching a chess situation in a we'll call it the situation room. There's a he gets a, receives a note on the bottom of a glass of water. I like that. Clever way.
It was on the napkin.
It was on the napkin, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes, that was underneath the water. Says you need it immediately. Here's my question. Why does he then decide to win? I thought it would have been a more...
Oh, to just pride. Tank it?
I think it would have been a more interesting turn for him to just tank it.
Because we find out how full of pride he is.
Exactly.
I can win and handle this. You know, he's so smug.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's exactly what I thought. It's like, you know, he gets a thing, but he even tears it up.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm going to do it. And then when, you know, he's just saying later on, it's like, no, it worked. She's the one that messed it up. You know, he has so much pride that he won't even admit to losing.
This actor I love. What is his name? I wrote it down. Vladek Šeber. Do you guys remember the original Red Dawn? He's in this movie.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah. And have you ever seen that really camp 80s musical, The Apple? He's in that as well. So he's kind of a, I would say like a B-movie character actor throughout the years. And he has this long, not illustrious career. But this is the only like legit movie I've ever seen him in. And I love him. Yeah.
Besides Red Dawn. I was just going to say, just like shit on Red Dawn casually? Just casually
I love Red Dawn.
I know you love
Red
Dawn.
But it is a B-movie, let's be honest.
Red Dawn is my favorite Wolverines movie.
Wolverines!
I fucking love Red Dawn. I didn't see the remake out of protest.
How'd that protest go?
It's still going.
Were you one strong?
Well, no. There's a whole crowd out on Sunset, and they said, like, yeah, go take 2 hours for a podcast, but make sure you talk about our cause.
Yeah.
And so I have to get back out.
What's funny is when everyone thought it was the reaction to the Zimmerman verdict, it was actually Matt.
Yeah.
Matt's Red Dawn protest.
Like, why have they been protesting for about a year before the trial, before the murder happened?
I will say, though, Zimmerman, as soon as that was over, they're like, we're joining with you guys. This is more important.
Yeah.
Red Dawn. Mm-hmm. Red Dawn, everybody. Yeah. That chess match. Okay, I see your point, guys. I'm going to say, yes, I see your
point.
But
can I shout out
to
the production design in this chess room I love? And also, did you notice that when they go to a wide shot, the ceiling is a matte painting?
Yes, I did notice that.
Say, this is rare for me, especially in these early Bonds. This is one of the few that's not production designed by Ken Adam, who is one of my all-time heroes.
Yeah.
It still looks good, but I miss like that Dr. No chamber, like the angular sets and the kind of stylized place.
Cast.
So normally what you get in a Bond movie is the villain's lair is really stylized and kind of mid-century modern and a really cool steel and wood and all this stuff. Yeah. And so this one's a little bit more classic, you know, because they're in Istanbul half the time too.
And there is no lair, really. It's just a boat.
Yeah, right.
It's just a yacht.
Yeah,
that's what we see. So after this, after he does the opposite of tanks the chess match, he wins it immediately.
Mm-hmm. He should just have someone throw him a threatening note every match.
That's how he sucks him out.
Yeah.
Also, like the guy bringing him the note, like his way of showing him there was a thing, just like just puts it down and stares at him.
Not suspicious.
Yeah.
You'd think they would have prearranged how he's going to get a note.
Yeah, exactly. You look thirsty.
Remember?
You really want to drink this, right? And just really look at it? Look at what you're drinking. You want to do that?
No, I'm fine.
No. I think you should really just take. Here's I'll put it. I'll set it closer to you.
I am in the middle of a chess game.
Yeah, I understand, but you're very thirsty.
I am not thirsty.
Really thirsty.
I am not.
No, listen.
I'll make you happy.
It's your move.
There's a note.
No,
I surrender.
Also,
the cockiness of when he walks away.
Yes, he doesn't shake anybody. The guy goes to shake his hand. Great fucking extra work by that guy who tries to shake his hand.
It was a good job.
But then we cut to Siamese fighting fish.
Right.
And that's real. Like,
yeah.
I feel like that bummed me out a bit.
They fed the fish to the cat, too.
That must have been a fucking fake thing, right? You know they're letting the Chinese fighting fish tear each other apart. I'm sure they fed it a real fish.
Yeah, probably.
Is it? I know. Yeah. Because
they kill a shark,
me.
Too, in Thunderball.
Yeah, they did kill a shark.
Really?
Yeah.
Where do they shoot these things where you could do that?
Is it before any regulations? Yeah. In Jamaica. You can still
do
that.
It's not where, it's when, Jonah.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
I go down there to do my bestiality snuff films.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
You should really get the series. It's called the... Goron girly. Gorly shit. Forget it.
No. I want to know what it was, though.
Don't worry about it.
We'll talk later.
We'll just.
Gore on Gorly?
Yeah. Gorly on Gore.
So it's like a play on girl on girl.
Yeah. Yep, and it's a gore because it's a snuff film, so yeah, there's going to be some murder and fucking.
Oh, it checks out.
Yeah,
yeah, that's pretty.
The premise was there, and I'm sorry about it. I'm sorry about it.
Why? Just because you flubbed up? Do you want to take it back?
No, I just think it wasn't worth it.
Give him the line again. Give him the line again.
I go down to Jamaica to do my bestiality snuff films.
Yeah, you should check out the series. It's called. Funnier that I fucked it up a second time. Yeah, Siamese fighting fish.
Funny.
Just fight. It didn't hurt inside as much.
Sorry.
Siamese fighting fish fighting each other. The real fish are fighting each other, which for some reason I didn't mind. I had fighting fish. I had Siamese fighting fish.
You keep them in separate jars
did
next
you make
to
them
each
fight?
Other.
I
would put them in occasionally together.
Oh, you ringmaster.
But they never died. They never killed each
you
other.
You god player.
They want to do it. That's what they want to do.
Right.
It's against their nature not to fight.
I want to go in Thunderdome.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Would you rather go beyond it?
Maybe.
Two men enter, get to know each other, walk out, have some food.
Oh, like kind of Thunderdome.
You want to hit up Pizza Fridays?
Yeah.
We can't. It's actually the company doesn't even.
What?
It's Thursday. What are you talking about?
I'm James Bond.
Again?
Yeah.
Blofeld. Do you know who plays Blofeld?
Whose arm plays Blofeld in this?
Peter, I don't remember his name, but he plays Professor Dent in Dr. No.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. He's a friend of the production, I think.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So we meet our villainess.
I love her.
You see the...
Nurse Diesel?
You see that,
we're talking about?
Yeah.
That's what that comes from.
You also
yeah.
see, like,
yeah.
Frau Farbissina.
Yeah.
Sort of the same.
And then, obviously, the... Austin Powers, Mindy Sterling,
characters
like directly referencing that.
Yeah, and there she is. She's a Russian defector who defects to Spectre. To Spectre.
Would you identify her as Russian or lesbian first? Because they go pretty far with both.
They go really heavy handedly with both.
Yeah,
and I will stop for a second here to say that Ian Fleming has a serious lesbian problem.
Really?
He does. It's very clear in his books. He's just have you guys seen Orange is the New Black? Have you watched that?
Not yet.
Well, the kind of like head of the officers has a similar thing where he just was really upset by it, but you also get the feeling he's very attracted to it.
Yeah.
And I don't think Fleming had worked through his issues. So lesbians are villains until they're turned straight and then they're not villains, and it's just really uncomfortable sometimes to read the books on racist, sexist, and especially like lesbian and gay people are always villains and that sort of thing. I mean, it's the 60s. Yeah. They were back then. They
well, that's
the,
you know, James Domi has an amazing stand-up bit about like how all old villains were just gay.
Yeah.
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 Even like Transformer villains.
Right.
Yeah. Starscream. It's an amazing bit. It's got to be online somewhere.
I've seen it. Yeah. I've seen him do it live. It's really funny. Mm-hmm.
I did write lesbian overtones.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an undertone.
Overtones.
It's
an overtone. Lesbian tones.
Yeah. Well, yeah. She just felt her up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Felt her up.
I just,
real good.
Very, I don't know. I felt uncomfortable watching.
Well, I remember when I think I first watched this, I didn't expect that in a movie like this at all. That's one thing I love about Bond movies is they do throw you certain things that you know, the hitman in Diamonds Are Forever.
Yeah.
I think is one of my favorites.
They push it.
Yeah,
they really do. They push it. And
Skyfall,
must have made everybody.
We didn't talk about that with Skyfall, did we? Did he or did he not?
Oh.
Because you've seen Skyfall.
Yes.
What is your question in your mind?
He's saying he's coming on to him. Silver, the villain's coming on to him, and he says there's a first time for everything. And then Bond says, "What makes you think this is my first time?"
Oh, that
just made me think James Bond will do anything for his country, and if he has to blow a dude to get the job done.
What were the specifics of that assignment?
He came across a filming of Goran Gurley.
It was fucked up again.
That'll do it.
It was 007 Assault on Fire Island.
Goran Gurley, it's erotic material. I challenge you to watch it for more than 5 minutes and not be just fiercely turgid.
It'll be hard pressed not to puke out of your mouth and dick.
Yeah. So in my mind, that's sort of where I went with it. I was like, well, he'd do anything for a mission. And also, I feel like he's so sexual.
Yeah.
He'd try whatever the fuck.
Right, especially if there's a girl involved, some three-way or something.
Yeah. But he's like, you know, he's like Prince or Bowie or any of those guys. They've had it all, and they're just going to continue to push their sexual boundaries.
Yeah. Yeah, it's time for a new ambiguous Bond.
Yeah.
A new more ambiguous Bond.
I need a new tug.
One That Won't Make You Sick?
Yeah.
Yeah, so this, yeah, so we see this whole scene. Tatiana Romanovich?
Romanova or Romanova? I don't know.
Romanova. It's one of those. Whatever. I'm gonna go ahead and side with Jonah on this.
Really? I may take the opposition on this.
Not the hottest girl in the movie.
Not the hottest girl in the movie. I find her adorable.
No.
Yeah, I do.
Both gypsy whores were were hotter. And the girl in the canoe, I thought was...
Here's my
I like
girl
Karen Bay's girl.
The girl that was hotter, I think, was Robert Shaw's masseuse.
I don't mean to be indelicate, but when she takes off her robe, she's not wearing a bra. It's like she's wearing like a cup of liquid skin.
Yeah.
It
was the best thing in the world.
I'll just say that I won't say anything.
Yeah. But Moneypenny.
Yeah.
But Moneypenny.
She's just classic.
She's a good-looking lady. She really is. But I think Sylvia Trench is still hotter.
Well, it's good to know that when these women come to the three of us and ask, you have to choose which ones.
Yeah.
And this will probably be within a week. We will.
No fighting whatsoever.
Definitely know where we stand.
We'll also have to grab the shovels because they're probably all dead.
No, none of them.
Moneypenny.
Yes. Yeah. But they're all dubbed too. That's the weird thing. You don't
a lot of ADR in this movie.
Ton of ADR, yeah.
and
bad ADR too.
Yeah, I feel like they forgot to bring microphones.
Yeah, there was
a point because they're not in a place that would be the audio would be. They're not like standing in front of the Bellagio fountain or something.
Well, there was the helicopter when the helicopter comes to Spectre's
place. Yeah, that's
so fair. That was fair. And then there
fair
was
enough,
all the, gun
the loudest
stuff.
Machine ever invented by man. Yeah, okay, I'll give you that.
But
yeah.
They're dubbed by different actors, and I think even Rosa Klebb is. I don't know if that's her voice or not, but there's a point where Tatiana says, oh no, Q is showing the briefcase and he goes, here, the latch is here and here. And the actor doesn't even say the second and here. He's just sitting there. He goes, and here. And then his mouth stays closed. And then he goes, and here.
Oh,
they didn't even try.
Well, just think about the leader of the gypsies where it's he has his only line,
one of
only two lines off camera. And it's just the most aggressive, character-filled.
Yeah.
What does he say exactly? Like,
I don't remember.
We're talking about the fat guy, right?
Yeah, like that. I'm okay.
Yes.
Something to the effect of that. It's just if it was just like, thank you.
Yeah.
You
are now his son.
And he's just running, not doing anything during that huge fight. We can get to that.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a minute. So, Tatiana. Her friends call her Tanya. I don't know why. It doesn't make much sense to me.
Right.
She's charged with the mission here. Her mission is to... God, what...
Like, it's to bone down with James Bond.
But what is the fake end game of the Russians?
What?
I don't think she tells.
Well, she... Russia or Spectre?
No, what does Spectre want Russia... What does Spectre want Russia's goal to be? Because I understand England's goal. I understand Spectre's goal.
Spectre.
I don't understand what Tatiana is told that Russia is into it for. Just to kill James Bond? That's the only thing they want?
I don't think they give her anything. They just say, you've got to obey, or you'll be shot.
Yeah.
Mm.
Get with this guy.
Yeah.
Mm. Mm. All right.
Get up on this.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck. On film.
Hey, well.
Which they do.
And you see a little flesh.
Do you?
When Tatiana's walking to the bed... You can see the silhouette of her full naked body.
Nice.
This is
nice.
Yeah, explicit for a James Bond movie.
Nice. You are an 80s Miami Vice extra. The way you just said that.
Thanks. Yeah. Over there.
I can feel it coming in. So here's the crux of the situation, everybody listening at home. The plan this time, the supervillain plan is get revenge on James Bond for killing Dr. No.
Where the R inspector comes from.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Extort the Russians for the Lecter machine.
E.
Terrorize Istanbul. By blowing shit up and causing tension between the Russians and the English.
Yes.
That's a T.
Yeah, you already said it with terrorizing.
Yeah. I was hoping you would say
that's pretty good.
Spectre really doing a lot of, and it felt pretty special, right? So what are we missing?
Counterintelligence? No, that's there in there with the Lecter. That's implied.
This is literally every single thing in their description happens in this movie.
We need to put all of these early movies to the Spectre test. You know?
Yeah.
Does Dr. No do that? Special Executive for Counterintelligence.
No. Dr. No does not do it.
Doesn't
I still
do
don't
counterintelligence,
know what Dr.
No's. Really.
Dr. No's plan was just to make some rockets not go straight. That was his plan.
How come Special gets two letters, but Counterintelligence doesn't? And that's literally two words.
Don't worry about it. Don't overthink it.
I gotta go.
Don't overthink it.
Okay.
Yeah, so the plan is we have a Lecter machine. It's a machine that decodes secret messages from the Russians. Tatiana works in an embassy that has one of these machines. The plan is pretend you're in love with James Bond and get him the machine. Are we telling you anything else, we'll kill you.
Sold in the room.
We'll tell you anything else, we'll kill you. And on the other side of this, James Bond gets a note that says, hey, there's a Russian consulate worker in Turkey, or Istanbul, rather, that wants to give up a Spectre machine. She wants to defect, bring a Spectre machine with her, and fuck you.
Sounds like a trap.
I love this. I love that everybody, both sides, know it's a trap.
Yeah.
And the British... Kronstein's read his reading of them is they will know it's a trap but can't resist it, and the like they don't even deny that in M's office. Like let's do it.
M is just trying to kill Bond. That's all he's ever tried to do. There's this crazy mission. You have to be the one that goes on it.
Ooh. I'm skipping over the fact. Okay, so that's the plan. I'm skipping over the fact that we meet James Bond outside with his green Bentley. The Bentley from Casino Royale, the book.
Yeah, yeah.
It's got a telephone in it.
Right. Sylvia Pretty Trench. Big. He's got his girl, his steady girl.
He shorthands Universal Exports
And
calls it Univex.
Oh, wow.
Never heard that before.
No, I haven't either.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't catch that this time either. Nice.
It's James Bond. Put me into Univex.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that happens. Then he goes over to M's office, tosses a hat onto the hat, under the hat coat rack, and oh boy, M's in there.
Yeah, but I like how he makes a joke and quickly realizes that it's not the time for jokes.
Yes.
My next trick.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, I think he's afraid of his boss. I think it's definitely just a fear of M for some reason.
Right,
like I don't know. Maybe it's just such the proper era, you know.
I think so
because. Yeah. You got now current James Bond doesn't mind punning off to M, no problems whatsoever.
Right.
But
we'll see how this new M relationship's gonna
I'm looking forward
go.
To it.
Then Q, we meet Q for the first time.
Yeah, Jonah, did you know that was the first time we meet Q? The first
time
a gadget
really?
Is given? Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. Jonah's reaction to it, you thought light on the gadgets?
I thought it was a bit light on the gadgets. It was a bit And then this compartment, that's all it was, compartments.
My favorite thing about that briefcase is that a feature of it is that it holds gold sovereigns.
Sovereigns?
Yeah. It's just...
And here is some ducats.
Yeah. And here's a strap that you put on under your shirt to keep your wallet because there's a lot of pickpockets in Istanbul.
Did you notice, too, they would never let this fly in a movie today when Q is showing all of the elements of the briefcase. His pinky has this huge, like, purple bruise. You know how you can smash a fingernail and it turns all purple?
Yeah.
Oh,
which
no,
I love
because
it feels like he's working down
there. Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
You know it's just the actor slammed his hand in a door or something.
Yeah, so we get the 00 agent-issued briefcase, which contains a flat throwing knife. A tear gas container that is tripped by latches being opened incorrectly. Gold sovereigns.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And a
belt of gold sovereigns.
And a Walther sniper rifle.
Yeah.
That has an infrared sight.
Yeah. 22 caliber.
Point, no,
he,
sorry.
What?
It wasn't. It was 2.5 caliber.
It was I gotta go.
25 caliber.
I think you'd be hard pressed to kill a person with that thing. Especially from that. You could hit him, but those bullets are tiny. He might fall, maybe die on the fall.
Maybe
but
that's all they were hoping for.
I guess.
Maybe that's all they were hoping
for. But we'll get to that later.
Oh. The same thing with his Beretta, because that's why his Beretta was that caliber, yeah. And they gave him the 9mm.
Yeah.
Which today, 9mm is like, come on. Give
well,
me
you're
going to
get the...
You're
that's pussy shit.
Yeah.
You're going to get a higher velocity, longer barrel, more of a spin.
That's true.
I'm saying maybe it's going to work out just fine.
We'll get back. We'll be right back.
Yeah, so I thought, great, Desmond Llewellyn with hair. Mm-hmm. First time we see him, this guy now is in the next 18 movies.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, the only one he wasn't in up till he ended was Live and Let Die.
Yep. Yeah. And that was just because of the script being unnecessary.
For some reason,
really, it was that it took him 18 movies to be like, no, not this one.
Well, oh, no, he died.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you feel now?
Better.
Better. Died, yeah. He died in a car accident.
Yeah, he didn't even die of old age.
On a way to a... No, this is like this is in 2000 and... Maybe 2000?
We'll say 24.
Yeah, 2024. He was on his way to a book signing.
Oh, yeah. Shit.
Such a sweet
yeah. guy. Bummer. Yeah. Bummer.
That's a bummer.
But they wrote him out very nicely. He got a goodbye. He got a good goodbye.
Although he never gave those words of advice ever once. Because he leaves by saying, what have I always told you? Here are a couple things I've never told you.
Never let them see you bleed. And second, always have an escape plan.
I have to go. My planet needs me.
Bye, Philo. Okay. Great. He's set up, ready to go, and then we meet our co-pilot through the movie. Character actor, Mexican character actor, whose name I forget, but died shortly after production. Correct.
Pedro Almodovar or something.
Almodovar.
Like that? Is that it?
No, that's a director.
Yeah. Why I always get him confused, but it's something very similar.
But yeah, super likable guy.
Can we talk before the transition of getting there is when they start using the James Bond theme, and throughout this entire movie, it is only used for driving in cars leisurely, flying on an airplane
leisurely,
walking through the embassy office, walking hastily. And getting in his hotel. Did you notice that? And then it climaxes when he opens the briefcase.
Oh, is he going from the lobby to his room?
Oh, I hope that
the shroom won't do. I'll try the bridal suite.
Anyway, what was up with that too? Like, it's like the guy's listening in, and it's like a tense situation. Like, clearly there's something wrong with his room. Tell me, I only got the bridal suite. He's like, does he have the bridal suite? That'll be fine. Like, it's like, and then he goes, it's like there was what? Who was that guy? Was he with the Russians or?
He was just, I think he was just working. He was working for these. He was working for Spectre. I feel like he was a Spectre agent.
Everybody's in a spy game around there.
So do you think they gave him that room with the idea that he would want to go to another room?
Yes. So the acting on behalf of that gentleman was incorrect.
Mm. Yeah.
It should have been more of a. This is all going swimmingly.
Yeah, exactly.
Say we have the bridal suite ready. That's what he should have done.
Because that's where they were going to have the thing set up.
Yeah, that's where the camera was ready to film and fuck it.
Goran Gorle. Matt.
Perfect.
So, okay. So we come in. Q is there. Great. I made a note of the elevator wipe. He gets into the elevator, and then the scene transition
follows
is a
it
wipe.
Up. Let me throw something at you.
Yeah.
Can I borrow a match?
Oh, no, but I have a lighter. Oh, I prefer a lighter?
I use a lighter. Better still.
Except when they go wrong on you.
Exactly.
Hello. We are spies. Right? That's what that means?
That's what you say when you're spies, right?
God, there's so much good stuff with that. We're running a very long time right now, so let's make some broader. Okay. Let's make broader strokes.
All right.
Go.
Just quickly about that actor. He was dying during this movie, and he died. They like rushed his scene, so he desperately wanted to finish this movie.
Which one?
And the Karim Bey, the lovely...
The buddy.
Really?
Yeah.
And he died, I think, definitely before the movie came out.
Yeah, right after production.
Yeah.
What was he dying? It was just cancer?
Jesus Christ. I know. And his son is in License to Kill.
Oh, man.
So those broccolis, they
keep on getting bummed out by this guy.
Yeah, I know. He's so sweet. He's so sweet.
He's great.
He's great.
Just
so affable. It was almost like he was in a different movie.
when you first meet him and the girl is like clamoring to be with him and he's just resistant to having to have sex with a beautiful woman, and his comment is, back to the salt mines. That blew me away. Oh my God. Oh, I have to go.
I have to eat
recreational sex. Back to the salt mines. Oh,
oh wait, God. You didn't get that he was going to eat her out because the salt mine would be the vagina?
What? Oh,
yeah.
No.
Oh, that's the layer.
Oh, I tend to not give these older films that kind of double entendre.
Yeah,
credit,
also,
but, yeah.
I don't
think. But it's there.
Yeah.
Oh, it's
I don't
there.
Think any guys were doing that. Because this movie is just full of just women being disrespected.
Yeah.
Do you want a case in point?
So he's putting his dick in the salt mine?
It's just
my
like,
point
it's like
is
back
that
to
the
work.
Salt mine.
Yeah.
No, my I point is sure. the salt mine. Oh, I think it's. I think it's a double.
Yeah, I guess maybe you're I think right. It didn't occur to me.
Yeah, I think it's a super double.
But it's such a slam. Like, oh, I'm so powerful that I have to go have sex with this beautiful woman.
Here's a just. It's not yet at the we're not at that place,
but you can go ahead. Yeah.
There's a part in the movie where there is the Bob Hope advertisement on the side, and then the guy lifts up the window. It's right where the girl's mouth is, and then he starts to come out, shoots him down, and then James Bond says, "She should have kept her mouth shut." Like that is a joke that he's just making, which is. A reference to a normal term that someone would say about a woman with a black eye.
Oh,
like it's
you're
it's,
getting right. ultra abusive on this situation. I
she should have kept her mouth shut. That's like a thing people said.
Huh.
Should have kept her mouth shut.
I think he should have kept his mouth shut is as common as saying.
I see what you're saying though. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely sexist.
I can't defend the sexism in the James Bond movies because it is so blatant.
Like, that's like a reference to abuse.
Yeah.
Should have kept her mouth shut.
Well, I mean, Sean Connery
told you twice, you know.
Famously, Sean Connery in that Barbara Walters interview talks about how he does think a woman needs a good smack every once in a while.
And Roger Moore had to go to court because his wife was beating him at one time. You know that?
Yeah.
There's
tells
your
you
difference
everything
in
you need to know about James Bond.
And it somehow endears me even more to Roger Moore.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's a tall, big guy. He could swat back, but he's such a sweetheart.
He swatted back with lawyers.
Yeah. All right, so I think I interrupted something.
Yeah,
you guys
it's okay. We're going. So let's see. I don't even know what I wrote there.
We're probably about onto the gypsy camp.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about it. So they go to a gypsy camp.
For fun?
They go to a gypsy camp to avoid going back to James's hotel, correct?
I guess. I don't know.
And at this point, the Russians have decided that that they need to kill...
He must not be there for good reasons. Yeah.
Right.
Well, this is after James gets the thing, right?
No.
Oh.
No.
No.
Just watched it this morning.
This is something blew up.
But first we start.
Oh, there was the attack on dude's office.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it goes from belly dance into gypsy cat fight. Like that, and then into action sequence.
Yeah,
I mean it's the
real deal.
Three punch.
It's what every man wants to see in a movie, right?
Yeah,
belly dancing, cat fighting, and
when the cat fighting, I mean it was pretty brutal. It was it was a girl version of Mandingo,
Yeah, yeah.
It was just
they were gonna kill each other in essentially cotton panties or swimsuit bottoms.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why they needed to take off their skirts.
Yeah.
I guess maybe it's just more material to grab.
Yeah.
So maybe it's a tactical advantage situation. But yeah, they're at a gypsy camp, and I will say that I really felt like it felt like a racist view of gypsies.
Oh, how do you mean?
Every single gypsy character. Was a caricature of a gypsy character. Yeah. Now
it was like a circle jerk of pickpocketing.
The whole camp was sex and booze and revelry and just debauchery.
And I will also say that when shit starts to go down, so there an attack happens on this thing, they're trying to kill James or the guy James is with, the Russians are. The attack goes down. James, I feel like James nonchalantly was just stirring shit up. Just like throwing the fire wagon, the wagon that was on fire.
Yeah. Just like blase, just cutting stuff, just turning over a table guys are fighting on.
Yeah, tossed it into nothing. Yeah. Yeah. If people were fighting near him, he would stop the fight by knocking both of them to the ground.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And at one point he turns back and cold cocks the guy. Like, he sort of dispensed with that gentleman, then decides to turn around. I gotta go back and knock him out with my pistol. I gotta pistol whip this guy.
Willy-nilly with the shooting, just deciding to do it here and there.
Yeah, hard to tell who's on whose side. And he's just, he and Karen Bay are just firing into the crowd.
And something you see as the viewer, which I thought was incredibly great, is Robert Shaw up there in the sniper's nest,
mm-hmm.
taking people out to keep James Bond alive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he needs James Bond alive for his plan to work.
Right.
For Spectre's plan
to
work.
His life.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, saves his life. But then...
he's like a Fagin.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's very much so. I like it.
Yeah.
Okay, so after this gypsy fight...
everyone goes back to partying.
Yeah,
even the head gypsy man has lost ostensibly sons-in-laws or family members, and he just comes over with a laugh, a hearty laugh.
Yeah.
And, here, have a girl.
Yes, you get to choose.
Yeah, you get to... that was and that, and like, you know, he appreciates it.
Yeah.
What do you want? Stop the girl fight. That's what he asked.
Yeah, that was interesting too, cuz what is his thinking there, that he's a gentleman and he doesn't want them to fight?
I think so.
Very not sexist.
Yeah.
Which seems almost out of character for
Bond. Cuz there were, you know, he's afraid one of them's going
to
beat up the other one's face.
Probably.
And that's a waste of a pretty
to
face.
Sleep on both. On both of them.
Yeah. He wants both faces. Sleep.
And so they show up to his tent. And then
they fuck. Right?
Is that what happens?
I don't know. The only thing you know is that you end up, one of them is sewing his cuff while he's still wearing the shirt, like, adoringly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's love slaves.
Yeah.
This is gypsy love slaves. Okay, so the Lector, they have a whole plan to get the Lector, and the plan is blow up the Russian consulate from underneath and then take the Lector.
And there's things I love about this, like in the spy story, that they say... they tell her one day and then come a day earlier.
Yeah.
Which just seems like legit spy stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Which I thought was cool. Which also, but the whole thing, it was just like, you're willing to go to the lengths of blowing up the Russian consulate in Istanbul to get the Lector. Why not have done that earlier?
Hmm. Yeah, you could use that.
Yeah. Anybody? Right. No one can answer that question? Why not do it, you know, without Tatiana's involvement at all? Just sort of just blow it up and...
well, he likes her.
Yeah, but
like,
I mean...
like, he likes her, likes her.
Oh. But what does she do, essentially? I guess she just confirms its location, because otherwise...
yeah.
You're right, yeah.
Guys,
then they run through a really cool-looking set.
Yeah.
Oh, they do, yeah. They run through, like, a blown-up set.
No. It's not blown up. It's just like it's underneath. It's the catacombs.
Oh, I'm just talking about when they blow up the consulate and they have to run through the consulate and then go down the hole.
Yeah, down the hole. And then there's all those pillars holding up, you know, all those catacombs, which is great. Which and then there's the thing with the rats.
Yeah,
rats and catacombs. Sean Connery.
What
are you thinking about?
What?
Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
Can you believe that they would do that twice? Back to the well with them.
Full circle.
Yeah, even though he wasn't in that scene.
I know.
There's I did think about it.
A little weird character thing that I never caught before, when they're calling back to the office and M and Moneypenny and all of those chiefs of staff are listening in on the code thing.
Yeah.
And then Bond says something about having sex or something. He goes, with M in Tokyo, and he asks Moneypenny to leave, which I never thought of M as... he's probably married and he's just dicking around in Tokyo. That was new character stuff for me.
That was all... I liked that a lot.
But that means like they're in Tokyo and then M and Bond just had this night out where they went to a Japanese bathhouse or something?
Yeah.
Oh.
Sounds good to me.
Maybe that's when James went gay.
With M?
Yes.
Forgotten cocker.
Not so far-fetched. So... let's sort of, I mean, the nitty-gritty of this whole situation. He has the Lector. Great. Now they get on a train. Mm-hmm. And this is sort
of... They run straight to the train.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. Right on it.
And, by the way, the whole time I watch this, I'm like, this is a great plan. This is perfect. This is going to work. Nobody's going to get hurt. Everybody's having a good time, except for the people that got blown up inside the Russian consulate. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, Russian. But then we start the train scene.
Yeah.
And then we see Robert Shaw's on the train.
And he's so English, you can't believe it.
Old man.
Old man.
In the book, yeah. Red Grant is a homicidal... like maniac rapist killer that kills when there's a full moon.
Weird.
He's just an Irish killer that goes and kills when the moon is full.
Wow.
This is Fleming always has weird little things like that.
For me, it's the pinnacle James Bond fight.
It's amazing.
I think this sort of train car fight. So here's the plan. The plan is, it boggles my mind how cleverly written this sequence is, of them missing the train stop. The Russian officer that gets on unwittingly is killed, mm-hmm. as well as Pedro.
Yeah,
they're both killed. James then has to. They end up having to stop somewhere, but he calls ahead to get M to send somebody to the office. It's from the office. That person gets sent. James gives away his coat by telling... When he tells the guy that his brother is dead, at what point does he say the code? What? Because Robert Shaw overhears the code happening.
Yeah.
The code word happening.
Right.
And then Robert Shaw is then able to kill the guy sent by MI6 before James gets outside... Put on his hat, grab his briefcase. Adopt his accent, which makes you think he's like a program killer. Like he could.
I love it though, because when the actor does it so well, I believe the character does it so well.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
He's just
definitely.
Hey,
he's the Russian James Bond.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he's Irish.
Oh, sorry.
That's all right.
Spectre has many nations.
All nations.
Yeah.
Everyone likes a good extortion revenge. Anyway. So what we see now, here's my brain watching this now for this might be the 30th time I've seen this movie. I just sort of was able to sort of just watch it from the standpoint of watching it for the first time. And we have someone here who's actually watched it for the first time. Was it tense for you?
Which
was the scene? Was James vetting Robert Shaw
tense? No, it wasn't tense at all. It seemed like he knew the entire time.
You thought he knew the entire time?
That it felt like upon the conversation they were having, where he said "old boy" twice, and like when he was like you know, he was suspect, and immediately felt like he knew.
I didn't think he was suspect, but I think that the wine thing, it was like tipping him off, and then asked him about how he dropped the drug in the drink, and then his explanation kind of panned out, and so I think he was still waiting to see.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of... I felt like he was matching up with James Bond, like, step for step, as far as, like, his explanation for things and da-da-da. And then I think it really was... The deal was really sealed when...
He tried to stab him?
He opens up the briefcase... And it's the standard issue 007.
Yeah,
briefcase.
And he's thinking, all right, this guy's legit.
This guy's, yeah, totally legit. Let's talk about life.
And then what does tip him off? I'm trying to remember. Oh, he just pulls out his gun when they take Tatiana in and drop her off, and then he comes in, and then Red Grant just has his gun out, right?
I think so, right?
Yeah. That's when he's going to do the deal. He's going to kill him there.
Yeah, and he puts the silencer on.
Mm-hmm.
And then, for some reason... decides that I will not kill you because you will buy a cigarette from me for 20 gold sovereigns.
Yeah, I think...
Where are the gold sovereigns in this case?
Oh, yeah.
Boom. Open the case. James Bond is dead. You have the gold sovereigns. This is where it falls apart.
Uh-huh.
This sort of... This little turn is where it falls apart.
I see. I didn't catch that.
No?
I didn't know. I think because I was willing to go, this is probably one of the first, if not the first movie where a villain before killing them, kind of wants to tell him the
everything.
Although Dr. No basically did it too.
Yeah, Dr. No basically.
But I'll buy it in these early ones. It just got overused.
Yeah, I like
it became a parody.
What I like about it in this one is that you believe, for some reason, you believe the character is so ready and so willing to be better than James Bond that he wants to say, "This is how I beat you."
Yeah, I feel like he wants his little dessert before he kills him.
Yeah,
yeah. He wants to toy with
him. To see him. You know, to see him struggle.
Yeah.
This, I just don't understand why he doesn't pull the trigger.
I fully think he's going to, but this is just my conjecture, but he just wants to talk to this guy. In some ways, they're kindred spirits, but also he's like Kronstein in a way. You know? I think he's got too much hubris.
Yeah.
We might be giving it too much weight. I don't know.
What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's pride.
Just too much pride.
Yeah.
And then they fight in a fucking train quarter. They keep knocking into Tatiana.
I can't understand why this fight is so good in the second movie, and then many of the next fights in all the other movies are just kind of lame action movie fights. You know, they took great pains to make this real.
The elevator fight in Diamonds Are Forever is just as good, I think.
I think so, too. But I think they were directly going, we got to do something like that again. But this is all due mostly, I think, to Peter Hunt as the editor, who was the first, even of that era, to really do these quick cuts.
Yeah.
And back then, like, one of the rules in editing now is cut on movement because it's more dynamic. But back then, the rule was don't cut on movement. Like, let people come to a stop before you cut away from them. And so this fight is so crazy and frenetic. I don't think anybody had seen anything like it before. And
it's really tense,
too.
Yeah,
it is.
It's like, is he going to get the, you know...
Because there's no clean punches. It's just all grappling. And I think you're still in John Wayne style era for those type of things, you know, clean punches and gunshots that make you yawn and stretch before you fall.
Yeah. Oh, like Kleb when she dies,
her orgasmic death. I have that in my notes. I feel like she's
really just letting it loose.
Ooh.
This Robert Shaw is amazing, fucking phenomenal. Kind of crazy when you think about the fact that, 8 years later, he's going to be Quint.
Yeah. Because he's so butch.
Young and buff. And just, you know.
That is crazy.
For my money, he's got to be the best henchman.
I think
he's got to be the most capable. And he's got to be the acting, I think, is above all.
There's no gimmick to him.
Yeah, and there's also, I think every time, the problem with henchmen, I think, throughout James Bond is that henchmen are cast, when they're cast, the henchmen are usually character actors that I'm sure you get headshots of a bunch of people that are dressed up like Odd Job and you go, that's our Odd Job.
Yeah.
You know, it's just sort of like, we need a chauffeur. Get me all the pictures of Asian chauffeurs and like that's how they cast them. And I think that sort of is the thing throughout Jaws, I think, you know, Richard Kyle, he's cast because he's that big.
And they're not characters. The characters are not written out. This guy was a character.
Yeah. And I think that pound for pound, acting-wise, Robert Shaw might be the best actor in the entire history of the series.
Wow.
Think about it.
He's up there, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, maybe you put Judi Dench, Ralph Fiennes up there.
I'd put Daniel Craig in there and Javier Bardem.
I don't know if I'd put Daniel Craig up there. Javier Bardem, I can see.
Well, I have an extra slot. Have you not seen my shelf?
Oh, I guess so.
Yeah.
My shelf still has Pierce Brosnan on it.
Oh, dear.
Robert Shaw is so fucking good. And that's really, I think if there's any takeaway from this movie, it's to watch this movie. The biggest reason, I think, to watch this movie is Robert Shaw.
Mm-hmm.
That's sort of
agreed.
How I feel about it.
Agreed.
Yeah. You guys agree with me? Mm-hmm. That's great. Yeah. I'm glad we all agree. Then you think the movie should be over, and then they decide to have a boat chase. They decide to have a helicopter car chase and a boat chase.
Yeah,
I forgot about the helicopter thing, which was really cool, but unnecessary.
You know they have a boner for helicopters in this movie because it's in the beginning, it's in the end, and I think actually helicopters were not even 10 years old at this point regular use.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think that was sort of this, like you'd put a Chevy Volt in a Bond film today.
Yeah, you're putting in perspective for us.
That's why, too, I think that briefcase full of what we would find to be like cliche spy things, I think, would probably blow an audience of that time away.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
I love the whole situation. So then we come to the, I'm going to just skip the boat chase.
Mm, yeah.
I actually fast-forwarded through the boat chase at home.
Nothing's revealed. Nothing changes.
Yeah.
I know just technically they missed the shot that I was like, we're going to rehearse, and some special effects guy blew the explosion, and they had to kind of like rely on one camera to grab it or something.
By the way, some of those fucking stuntmen like are on fire.
Did you see the one that blows up in the guy's face?
Yeah.
That doesn't feel like it's on purpose.
Yeah.
But that was one of the ones, right? Because like the shot is slightly off when it happens.
Yeah.
It makes you go, oh, you know, and then he jumps into water.
Like,
but the water's on fire. He jumps into water on fire. Yeah. That's the guy. That's the exact guy I was talking about. The boat chase is worth it just to see stunts gone wrong.
Yeah.
And like the most shoehorned in. Well, it's like where we say we're like in England or where I come from, where there's smoke, there's fire. What does that mean, though, in the context of this?
Yeah.
There's fire everywhere
because
you just blew up a bunch of gasoline.
Yeah, the smoke is inconsequential.
Yeah.
Also, guys on a boat throwing barrels out. Robert Shaw.
What? Robert Shaw, what do you mean?
It's just like Jaws.
Oh, right.
This has the Jaws connection and the Last Crusade connection.
Yeah.
The two best movies that both of those actors were ever in.
That's true.
I will walk away from the microphone now. So then the ending scene, you think everything's happy. You forgot about Gleb.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody forgot about old knife.
She thought
shoe.
She was going to die, and Gleb. Then Spectre ends up killing the other guy.
Because that's what Spectre does.
Right.
Which is
a lot.
Very often, the person getting yelled at who thinks they're going to die, the guy next to them dies.
Well, it's a lot like season 4 opening of Breaking Bad, where Gus Fring talking to Jesse and Walt about how horrible they've done, how they're just going to start Walt's, you know, trying to save his ass. And then as Gus is getting ready into an outfit, he goes and he kills his right-hand man.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's very Bond.
Yeah. Bond started everything, guys.
The shoe knives. Pretty awesome.
Shoe knife,
poison,
by the way.
Poison shoe knife.
Oh, yeah.
10-second venom.
I forgot about that part of it. I really forgot about it.
You really must get the venom faster.
Why? Don't you want people to know they're dead and Spectre has just gotten the best of them?
Most of them do, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't understand why that wouldn't. We want the longer working villain. Like maybe 45 seconds. 50. I don't know. Is 50 too long? It could break stuff.
How long does it take to make a hot pocket? Make it that long.
First, how long does it take to invent a hot pocket?
You and your logistics of the time.
Timeline.
10
man.
Years of helicopters.
She dies in the most sexual death I think I've ever seen.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah.
Also, the Ruski, hard time deciding.
Well, yeah, because she, at this point, is she aware that Kleb no longer works for the Russian service?
I think that's put in for audience tension. I think
smirched.
Pretty early on she's truly in love with him. What do you guys think about
that? Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah. I mean, how could you not be? I was in love with him very early on.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah.
Here's what happens in the book. Do you know how this movie ends in the book?
I love this.
She gets him in the shin with her shoe knife. And Fleming didn't know if he wanted to write Bond books anymore, so he ends with a cliffhanger.
No way.
And you don't know if he's going to die. And then it comes back. I can't remember what the next book is, but he's recuperating. But it takes him a long time.
Thunderbolt.
Shit.
Yeah. Is it?
Well, that's the only one that starts them recuperating. Is that the spa?
I can't remember. I want to say, because I think this is I could be wrong. I don't know. Maybe.
Because Thunderbolt's the one he writes with Kevin McGlory.
Yeah.
Which I feel like is late. I don't know.
Because they wrote a script, a movie screenplay first. Yeah, I don't know.
Anyway,
what's because Ian Fleming wrote Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
but it was who wrote the book for Chitty Chitty Bang Bang? Because there was a switch thing they did.
Oh,
right?
Roald Dahl.
Roald Dahl. That's right.
Roald Dahl wrote
the screenplay for You Only Live Twice.
That's right. Yeah. So like they basically switched.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh,
yeah, they were friends, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Huh.
You write this movie.
How's it?
I'll write you one of your big.
Could you take my feathered pen?
Yeah.
And cigarette in holder?
right?
I could, but I'm
You're very mumbling
busy.
Again.
No, I'm very busy with James and the Giant Peach.
What?
James is looking at a peach. It's a giant.
It's a giant peach?
It's a
I'm
giant
riding
peach.
James Bond on the giant peach.
What do we do with it? Do tell.
I swear it.
But is your giant peach large enough to ride?
It might be. I'm also riding Jimmy in the Chocolate Factory.
What? You
I
know that Charlie and the Chocolate Factory has been published for years.
Uh-oh.
It's a sequel.
Have you done a glass elevator?
Of course I've done a glass elevator.
I can't tell which one of you guys is which person. I think it's switched a couple times.
It is a Wonkavator. Yeah. Who were you being? You're still Ian Fleming, right?
In my mind.
Yeah, okay.
I'm always.
You're asking about the glass elevator because you know in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory that you've seen a glass elevator.
If I was doing your road dog.
I would do it very well.
Yes, this is how I
would do it. Tally ho, what, and all that, yes.
And then very hard. I'm sorry. I thought it would be there's a glass elevator in my movie as well.
I don't know.
I wish there was a third British author I could be.
Who could
J.K. Rowling?
I'm a baby.
See, you're getting
very
the timeline
good.
Thing.
Very good.
There you go. Yeah,
helicopters are new. We from Russia with loved.
We sure did. Next up, Quantum of Solace.
Madden. Friendship bonding. Bonding friendship. Madden, friendship.
That's the theme.
I don't know how we don't just make that the theme.
Oh, I think we should. Yeah. We'll just sing it every time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not cool.
Oh.
Why don't you just replay the thing I did when I made it up?
Are you an ASCAP?
Why don't we just cut it out?
And BMI.
Okay, then we have to. All right. Sorry. Well, then let's get it clean.
No, I can't do it.
You don't want to be on 22 podcast episodes singing it.
Madden.
We could. This is just great. Someone got a.
We'll do it all at once. How about that?
Okay.
Let's do it. We'll get this clean.
All right.
So 1, 2, 3, and then on the 4.
1, 2, 3.
Madden.
I forgot. Madden. Do it again.
Madden. Sorry. Bonding friendship. Okay.
Oh, and then friendship.
Right. Yeah, sorry. 1, 2, 3.
Madden.
Bonding friendship. Friendship bonding. Madden, French Bond, 007.
This is the song.
Myra Corley
and Jonah on this episode, but not on the rest.
This will flesh itself out.
Yeah,
we need you here every week.
Done.
All right,
Jonah Ray, thank you so much for being here. If you want to follow Jonah on Twitter, go ahead and search for Jonah Ray Donovan.
Jonah Ray Donovan, at Jonah what? Ray. The name is Jonah Ray Donovan. Check me out, my brother Bunchy.
What is this? What is going on?
Ray Donovan, he's obsessed with Ray Donovan. So we suggested that he should just change.
It's not my favorite show, it's my favorite reference point.
He lives in a parody of himself. Like, he lives in a world where, I like referencing it, so. Matt, we will.
Quantum Souls next week. We haven't lined up guests.
We haven't lined up guests. Well, we have some guests sporadically throughout.
Yes.
Lined up, but Quantum Souls, we do not have a guest yet.
We will have one.
We'll figure it out.
That's one you'd like. Oh, I'm going to ask you to the lame party.
Yeah. Yeah. That one is the one where, like, we'll have you on this, but we should have you on something else cool.
Yeah, that's
also
true.
Right. And then Goldfinger, we're doing with Allie in Georgia.
Okay, right.
And they're going to make us some mint juleps.
I love a mint julep.
I love a minty julep. Thank you guys for listening. Follow us at James Bonding Pod on Twitter. And you can follow Matt at Matt Gorley and me at Matt Myra. It's with an I, not a Y. Yeah. And email us, James Bonding Pod.
BondJamesBonding@gmail.com.
I'm sorry.
Right?
BondJamesBonding@gmail.com.
Yes.
That is where you will find us if you need to reach us, tell us suggestions, guests, whatever. let us know. We appreciate it. If you want to write a theme song, we won't be mad at you. Just use Jonas lyrics. Thanks so much.
What do you do?
I have to go, don't you see, because I'm dead.
But Ian, we've both been dead for years.
What?
We have both been dead for years.
We've been Shyamalan.
I don't understand what that means.
M. Night Shyamalan. Sorry.
Still, that reference point is many years after our deaths.
Who?
I have to go.
Bye.
And then the German kid likes the chocolate, and you see what he does is he eats it, and he dies.
But all along, he should have just had cups of water
around. Now leaving Nerdist.com.
Hey, this is Arnie Niekamp from the improv fantasy podcast Hello from the Magic Tavern. I fell through a dimensional portal behind a Burger King in Chicago into the magical land of Foon, and I started a podcast. Season 3 has just begun with a brand new adventure to defeat the Dark Lord. If you're a new listener or you've fallen behind, Season 3 is a great jumping on point. And we've got great guests like Justin McElroy.
I sound like a fancy college professor. Eight nuts.
Rachel Bloom.
You want to see my collection of men corpses and one woman?
Felicia Day and Colton Dunn.
You've seen me have intercourse with a variety of species.
It's a bummer.
Andy Daly.
You have the members of Genesis listed, but Phil Collins is crossed out and then circled and crossed out again.
Yes, I have killed Phil Collins twice.
Thomas Middleditch.
Jesus! I mean, Jazos! Ruler of the Eighth Circle!
And that's just the beginning. Season 3 of Hello from the Magic Tavern is out now. Listen in Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.